For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
The Vox Markets Podcast. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Welcome back, everyone, to Vox Markets. My name is Paul Hill. I'm delighted today to be able to speak to CEO James Hickman of Cornerstone FX, a leading Forex and international payments provider serving small, medium-sized enterprises and high-net-worth individuals. So welcome, James.
Hi, Paul. Good to see you.
Yeah, well, a massive congrats on this morning's excellent full-year trading update, better than expected, with sales doubling to £9.6 million. So you've been knocking out the ball out the park there. But before we sort of dig into the details, I don't suppose you could quickly just, you know, talk about your background and likewise what's been behind the sort of terrific turnaround in the company since you arrived in September 2022, only sort of 15, 16 months ago.
Yeah, absolutely. So I've been in the payments industry for 20 plus years now, originally with a privately held business called Caxton FX, mainly around international payments and currency exchange to private individuals. In fact, Caxton was one of the first companies in the UK to launch a prepaid travel card, which I set up and marketed. From there, I moved to a company you will know well, Equals PLC, as was FairFX. There I was Chief Commercial Officer. And most recently, prior to joining Cornerstone, I was Chief Revenue Officer at an Irish fintech called Fire Financial, who predominantly focused on open banking payments.
So you've got 20 years of experience. So have you deployed that knowledge to the effect of Cornerstone? Because, I mean, the business has really taken off over the last sort of 15, 16 months.
Yeah, absolutely. So when I came into the business, I mean, there was a few glaring things that needed to be changed, one of which was the strategy of serving other FX companies. So essentially a SaaS type model. We had a great platform that we were essentially leasing to other FX companies for a small share in their revenue. Now the negative of that, whilst you have obviously got no marketing costs, you've got high operational costs. So ultimately, you know, with compliance and regulatory costs going up all the time, and they're certainly not going to come down, it means that the business itself, no matter how much turnover was put through, the revenue opportunity was actually relatively limited. So the first thing we did was completely reverse that. As I say, the platform and the technology was actually really, really good. So we have
it was a white label, basically. And was it the people that you were doing the white labeling for, would they have the expertise at the sort of Forex, so you wouldn't have that client contact, which is obviously what you want?
Precisely. So we have no client, no direct clients at all. And what we've done over the past 16 months is completely reversed that, and we've offboarded all of our white labels, or pretty much all of our white labels. So all of our revenue now is direct. And you can see that through the margin improvement, actually. So we've focused very much on the revenue. Another aspect was very much strict cost control as well. It's all very well making the revenue, but if you're spending it as fast as you're making it, that doesn't help anyone. So we very much focused on a strict cost control regime, which by the way is ongoing. We expanded out our payment capabilities in terms of the number of currency corridors we could serve, and therefore the number of customers we could serve. We focused very heavily on improving our own sales capabilities. We've hired a number of key people within the sales team to help build that. And most importantly for me actually is the people. You know, we've had some, the business has always had some really, really good people within it. And we've invested further in that, increasing the number of people we've got and the expertise we have, particularly around the regulation and compliance, which is within this market is so, so important.
Yeah. Yeah, well, it's certainly, that strategy certainly worked, no doubt about it. I mean, I was just running through the sort of top level numbers, and I think you did in the first half 3.6 million revenues, and then you've gone to 6 million
yes,
sequentially in the second half, and then your EBITDA has gone up even more. You did about £200,000 worth of EBITDA in the first half, and then did the finish the year at 1.4 million. So that must have been you've done 1.2 million EBITDA in the second, and your margins equivalent, they've gone from 5% EBIT margins in your first half to 20% in the second half. So it certainly seems to be good. I mean, can you just talk through the sort of the, you've done the costs obviously, but what's been driving that top line and that sort of like the operational gearing in? I know you're obviously keeping the, you know, there's the expenses tight, but can you just talk through that transition? Because you know, it's just been an incredible sort of change from first half to second half.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the strategy and the measures we put in sort of back end of 2022 and maintained throughout 2023 has driven both top and bottom line. Obviously, selling directly has been a massive plus, as I say. We've added, or we've invested in our sales capability with a new CRM that makes sales obviously a lot more efficient, making sure that we're retaining customers as well. We've adopted a very much customer-led approach and particularly around the development of product, development of currency corridors, et cetera. It's very much in relation and in response to what our customers want and what we see that they want. So, you know, we're trying to effectively drive sales very quickly, but without incurring huge costs. And sort of a key thing for me is innovation through partnership. And what we're not trying to do is build everything ourselves in-house, because ultimately that's time consuming and expensive, when we can actually go to best of breed and select the very best partners for the job and achieve revenue far, far quicker.
Good. And then what's your sort of like the key sort of the USPs, your sweet spot? I mean, obviously the main competition is the traditional banks. I mean, just to give you a bit of color, my father bought a house in the south of France a few years back and was charged well over 1% by HSBC just to deposit about 500,000 quid. So just like straight, you know, sort of tax on him. From the banks. So you've got mainly the banks, but also there's quite a few sort of like other Forex dealers and traders, the Argentex, the Alpha FX, and you mentioned obviously the Equals. So what's the sort of like the key, your sweet spot and the differentiators?
So unlike, as you quite rightly mentioned, it's quite a competitive space. Unlike a lot of other payments companies that have tended to migrate very much and focus on purely business, we've kept a balanced mix of clients. So we service, currently it's actually 52% business and 48% high net worth individuals. We very much stick to that, and we're not looking to migrate over directly to business. We're very happy with servicing high net worth individuals. And one of the key differentiators for us is we, and many people listening to this go, haven't heard of Cornerstone FS. And intentionally, we do not market sort of branding. All of our clients come through referral and our referral network, and that typically is in the industry they call them affiliates, but they're introducers, and they tend to be solicitors, accountants, and property companies. And we're very much focused on building those relationships out rather than spending marketing dollars on things that you can't really put a return on investment on. So I've got a team here that is absolutely, their sole focus is developing new partnerships and making sure our existing partners are serviced properly. Ultimately, payments, and in fact, anything financial services is it's a trust thing. And we work very, very hard with our clients, with our introducers, to make sure that that we do try and develop as a very, very strong trusted relationship. So that really for us is a key differentiator. The other one is we are servicing customers that perhaps are overlooked by banks and other payments companies. So those companies and individuals that are perhaps harder to onboard. And the reason we can do that is we've, as I say, spent time and money on our compliance and our regulatory piece. We've got a fantastic onboarding system. We've got a fantastic monitoring system. And we've most importantly got very, very experienced compliance and regulatory people to manage the risk.
And then just on that particular sort of risk, et cetera, what's the sort of percentage split between spot transactions and forward transactions? Because obviously, if it's a forward, then you probably need to put collateral or match your, you know, match the buyer and the seller of that Forex.
Yes. So currently our spot forward ratio actually is much lower than other FX providers. So we're currently around 93%, 94% spot with balance forward. So actually, most of our business is very transactional.
Yeah, okay. That makes a big difference, yeah. Because, I mean, I think from my recollection, I think our Gentex are about 50%. I think Equals is about 90%. And I think Alpha FX is about, I'm not sure exactly what they are.
Yeah, but I mean, they will be typically higher, A, because they're very much focused on the business market, and B, you know, their sale is very much around hedging and stuff like that. So naturally, the products and services they offer will relate more to that hedging strategy type thing than necessarily ours, which we make no bones about it. We're more of a transactional transactional-based business. Having said that, because all of our business comes through referral, it is a good steady flow rather than having to acquire new customers at high cost every single time.
Yeah, it's basically like repeat business, isn't it? Because if you've got a good relationship with an accountant and they've got multiple customers, then they just obviously refer their clients to you if you're doing them a good service. And I guess probably the other benefit of a more transactional business, you know, 93%, means that you don't actually have to hold too much regulatory capital. Is that right? Because
that's absolutely correct. So as a business, we are a electronic money institution, an EMI. So we've obviously got that regulatory capital. But other than that, it is actually relatively light. So that is certainly one benefit, definitely. Mm.
And then again, you're obviously doing something very right here, because your gross margins ticked up, and I would have thought there would be more competition in the spot rate. And that, but can you just talk through that was obviously something's happened in mix, isn't it, or something like that in terms of the increase? I mean, 63% gross margins is excellent.
So that really is a mixture of the types. So one of the benefits of getting referral business is it's obviously trusted.
Yeah.
One of the things, as I say, we're very service-led. So we, you know, it might surprise you to know that actually around 70% of our business is still conducted over the telephone rather than platform.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, the customer has the choice, but they value speaking to us. Secondly, the mix of currencies we have, we're not reliant on any one particular currency pairing or multiple currency pairings. We have a very wide spread of client requirements, and therefore some currency pairs have attract higher marks than others. So if you're talking, you know, sterling euro, it's very, very low margin business, because as you rightly point out, it's hugely competitive. But other, you know, where you might be talking Hong Kong or Canadian, they have slightly higher margins attracted to them.
Good. Well, obviously, your UK technology stack there and your business model seem to be working really well. What's the sort of like the longer term vision to move overseas? Because I was working through the slide deck and I saw the UAE and Canada and potentially Hong Kong in 2025 as being beachheads for Cornerstone.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, it's sort of not, you know, holiday destinations for the team. This is very much around customer saying, you know, we or introducers saying we have customers in the UAE, we have customers in Canada. It would be good, and particularly with our service-based approach, to have representatives there. And ultimately, you need to be regulated to do that. So on our roadmap for 2024, is the UAE and Canada. We've actually incidentally already got an office in the UAE, so we've seeded that already. And then in 2025, it would be Hong Kong. So we're not going to run before we can walk, but I think a good target for us is 2 this year and 1 to 2 next year.
Brilliant. And what about sort of filling out the technology platform with different services and different products? What's on the sort of the roadmap there?
So I have briefly touched on previous on other presentations our desire, and particularly with my background, to introduce a card scheme. We are very, very close to doing that.
This is credit and debit cards.
Correct. Yeah. Correct. It will be focused, irrespective of my last point about a mix of high net worth and business. This will be a commercial card scheme. Simply because of the revenue opportunities and interchange opportunities are much, much higher. Mm. And we believe we've identified a gap in the market that actually is not served very well at the moment. And our product will fill that gap. So I'm looking forward to updating the market as soon as I can. But I expect that to be imminently.
Yeah, and I did notice also your cash position was better than expected as well. So you've now moved into sort of like we've got healthy lot of liquid funds, haven't you?
Yes, so exactly. So we ended up 2023 with 2.3 million in cash. Bear in mind, you know, at the half year point we were 816,000, and less than that at the end of 2022. So we've been very much conserving our money. There are a number of things or liabilities on the horizon, particularly around loan notes that we need to be mindful of. The one good thing, you know, and this was announced earlier in the year, a renegotiation of agreements, and it does allow us to pay those early if required, if the company feels it's prudent, particularly with interest rates.
Well, and when is the loan note due? Is it 26 or something like
correct.
That?
Correct.
Okay, so you've got plenty of time there. You can decide.
Back end of 2026, and the board is very comfortable that we'll have plenty of cash to meet those liabilities.
Okay, good. And then just the outlook for 2024. Obviously, you've entered the year very, very on the front foot there, very strongly. And how do you see the first half, second half, and sort of key milestones that you're looking to do?
Yeah, I mean, all I can sort of point to is our broker note, which is our Broker Shore Capital. Their numbers are showing for 2024 11.3 and 2025 13.9. The board are very comfortable with those numbers. Now, obviously, you know, we're a very ambitious company and we're looking to overachieve. It's very early in the year, Paul, so, you know, I don't want to say too much, but...
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I'll just highlight to investors that Shore Capital have also got, this is before today's note, but had a price target of 50p based on these, and I would say as an investor, quite conservative numbers because they're sort of only, less than 20% like-for-like growth, and you've just done 100% in the industries. That's just really an industry sort of standard growth rate. So gives you a lot of potential upside. And I think you've just been through a number of potential, you know, earnings upgrades at this last year. So I totally understand. Okay, good. And then just in terms of future, sort of like, you know, the long-term vision of the company, if it talks about sort of, you know, M&A and organic growth, where would you like to get the business on an aspirational? Obviously, you know, we're not holding you to it, but in say 5 years' time, if you're going to do sort of like, you know, 11, 12 million this year, in 5 years' time, where would you like to be to get that scale in international payments?
I mean, I would love to be over 100 million plus.
Good.
I would love to be there. I genuinely believe we've got the technology, the people, the wherewithal, the ambition to do so. It's all about execution now. I'm very confident in the strategy that we have. I think that's proven. So really now it's about execution and making sure that, you know, we maintain our focus. Is exactly what I'm here to do.
Yeah, well, I think it'll be a brave investor to bet against you there, James, to say the least, given what you've done in the first 16 months. So really well done. And in terms of the date for the prelims, is that going to be sort of like March, April time? Or
I believe it's early May.
Early May, okay, early great. May.
Yes.
All right, well, massive congrats again. Terrific year, and obviously the business got a lot of momentum behind it, so really looking forward to touching base in early May.
Brilliant. Thank you, Paul.
The Vox Markets Podcast. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.